Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Business Class podcast from the Tourism Academy, tourismacademy.org. Today's guest, Rose Noble, President and CEO at the Galena Country Tourism Association. You come to tourism from a really unique perspective.
Yes, I
think we have a common affinity for art.
Correct. Yes.
How did you end up making that change from art to tourism?
Yeah, that's a really good question. First of all, thank you for having me. Super excited. I have been an artist all my life. It's taken me a while to kind of label myself that. But always drawn to creating. And definitely, I think branding goes hand in hand with creativity. So when there was a position open for our bureau for a marketing director, this was about 7 years ago, I thought I would take a chance to apply. I knew nothing about the tourism industry. I didn't even know that it was a job that you could go into in terms of promoting a destination where you live. So just thought, hey, it sounds creative and curious, went after it. And I've been able to kind of utilize my skill set from just some DIY art that I've learned, as well as some trained art courses that I've taken in the past, and put that to good use, I think, in some of our branding and marketing for the organization.
So I can pretty easily see how art translates into branding and marketing. Mm-hmm. How does that background help you as a CEO?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. I think, one thing that I like so many forms of art in expression. And I think that, in order to be in that world, you just have a naturally deposition to accepting and curiosity. So in terms of like that welcoming behavior, and nature that most tourism professionals we meet have, I think the art group or the arts, you know, are one of those spaces that people can feel comfortable in. So in terms of my people relationship skills as an artist, I've been involved with so many different types of people and walks of life for a long time, which benefits, I think, perspective, always looking to meet new people and learn more. And I also think I personally, speaking for myself, I approach it from just a different angle. I don't have a business background. Not that I'm not consistently and continually trying to learn more about that, but I approach it from a look and feel type of background of how we are presenting ourselves, why we're presenting ourselves, what people are interested in, what the consumer's interested in, what draws people's eye to something versus something else. And presentation can get you a long way. I think you have to back it up with what you're presenting, but definitely you can get your foot in the door through presentation. So if we can get ourselves out there with our the way we look and feel, and then people learn more about us and they say, yeah, okay, this matches with what I'm seeing, and I want to come visit, and I want to get to know the people that live in this place.
How would you describe a landscape portrait of your area?
I would describe it as uniquely charming, magical, frozen in time. We have just such an interesting place. You know, I never knew about Galena until I moved here. I have this funny story that my mom kept telling me I had been to Galena as a kid, and I kept telling her, no, I did not. I would have remembered this place. And then it turns out I was actually a baby in her belly. So of course I wouldn't remember being here. But when I first got here, I was like, what is this place? It's like in the middle of nowhere almost, and it's kind of frozen in time. And it's such a magical pull. And I know that sounds kind of cheesy to say, but every single person that I talk to that lives in Galena now or has grown up in Galena, they have that same reaction. It's just this magical place. So I would describe the landscape as extremely unique, charming, magical wonderland, I guess.
And what are maybe two or three unique features that I would see if I were to visit?
We have an exceptionally preserved architecture, which I think a lot of people would say they have, but the amount of buildings we have in such a small proximity, so like 85% of our architecture in town is on the historic register. So that, and that's definitely not as common in the Midwest. You know, you might get more of that on the East Coast. Obviously we're talking United States because Europe is full of old towns, but in terms of the Midwest, it's very rare with the amount of preservation that we have historical architecture. In addition, we have rolling hills. A lot of people think of Illinois as flat, you know, the corn land, but up in Northwest Illinois, we have cliffs, limestone bluffs. We have the Mississippi River Valley. We're considered part of the Driftless area, which is an area that the glaciers missed. So we have these gorgeous rolling hills and beautiful architecture that are just unique to definitely to the country, but for sure to the region that you're not going to find anywhere else. So it's you kind of come upon it. You drive from Chicago, 3-hour drive from Chicago, and it starts off flat. And then you all of a sudden, you know, 2.5 hours later, you're cruising through hills and limestone bluffs and you reach our destination. So it's pretty cool.
What is a major challenge that you faced and what did you learn from it?
There's been many challenges. I think, you know, just you learn through adversities, number one. So challenges are the way that you grow. I mean, imposter syndrome. Are we doing this right? Am I doing it right? Comparing yourself to other leaders in the industry, even being invited to speak on this and some of the guests that you've had, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. You don't want to compare yourself to others, but you, I guess, tend to kind of to make sure that you're, I don't know, on track, I guess. I think HR, the HR world is a interesting world, you know, dealing with so many different types of people and making sure that the people you work with are happy and really enjoy what they do and learning that not everybody works the same as you. That's been a challenge, but I've grown so much in the past 5 years working with all different types of people. And, you know, I'm always continually trying to make sure I learn and I know the financial background in terms of funding and how we're spending and we're subject to open meeting acts and FOIA and all of that. So I really want to make sure that I have all those T's crossed and I'm learning about that as often as I can. And you hear these horror stories in the industry of people with their funding and being attacked. So I always want to make sure we're prepared for that. And I continually am taking any course that I can when it comes to the financial structure and backing of our organization as well. So that'd be three out of the top of my head.
I like that. Yeah. If you could take a look around your office and point out something that is especially meaningful to you, mm-hmm. and tell me about it.
So I've heard this question before in your podcast and you can't see
because it's a good one
on video, but I have some artwork in my office and one of my most treasured pieces, and how fitting for today with my I voted sticker. I was able to see Michelle Obama's portrait when it was first, you know, public to see in Washington, D.C. So I have a beautiful print of that portrait. And I think it just has so much meaning to me for so many reasons. And it's just something that every time I see it, it makes me smile. Even if you remove the political, you know, background to it, just the person that she is and what she kind of has advocated for and her connection to Illinois is just so beautiful to me. So I think that's one of my most treasured, I think, pieces in the office. I don't have too many things from kind of like my personal life here, but I do really enjoy that piece.
I think one of the things that's special about that piece is that, yes, it's a portrait, but it really is a piece of art and artistic expression. And
yes.
And I will share one of my biggest regrets as somebody who likes art and collects art.
Yeah.
Is not having purchased a Kehinde Wiley portrait about 8 years before he did the Obama portrait.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. I regret that.
That is a kick myself on that every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, what an amazing artist. I mean, amazing, beautiful, beautiful artwork. So, yes. Oh, well, if you could go back in time, maybe.
Yeah, if I could go back in time, I would. I'd be buying another house right now.
Yeah. yeah.
So, how would you describe your leadership style?
Continually evolving, first of all. I mean, I think it's just been such a weird, challenging time through the pandemic, right? Generally carefree and flexible. I expect quality out of our team, but I want them to be curious and go after things. We always support continued education. I want people to bring ideas to the table and have an open, an open perspective on in different angles, maybe that one isn't considering, but another teammate might. I think that I have high expectations, but offer plenty of opportunity for people to learn and to grow and to collaborate. And I don't want it to be everything from my perspective. You know, I don't want it to be just because I'm the one that's, you know, in charge. I think it needs to be multiple people adding to what we're doing and how we're doing it. So always continually trying to work through that. There's days where you feel like you've done a good job, and there's days where you feel like, oh man, I didn't listen good enough, or I missed that, and this is something I should work on. So I think, being okay with not being the smartest person in the room is also a good trait of mine. I don't take myself too seriously, but I do think I'm very creative.
I am the college dropout surrounded by PhDs.
All right, there you go.
So I
know some of the smartest people I know are college dropouts.
Oh yeah, I'm the nerd whisperer.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I went to community college and I had children young, and I took a break from school, and then I went back to school and I did night classes. So I have a unique, education background too. And that's okay with me. I think curiosity, I've said that like 3 times now, if you can't train that, right? That's a personality trait that I look for when we're looking to hire on new people for the team. Are they interested in this type of stuff? Do they want to learn more? Are they going to bring ideas to the table? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they have to have the background in whatever we're hiring for, because tasks can be trained, you know, programs can be trained. But positive personalities and curious personalities are kind of traits that, you know, can't really be trained. Those should be had already when they're coming through the door.
And I think you pointed that out too, in that curiosity is something that we share with travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, being able to look at your own destination through the eyes of a visitor is probably mm-hmm. a skill that more folks should be in tune with in this industry. Or what do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think how many times do we've been at conferences where people they're all doing the same thing and they're all selling the same thing, and you think, I've been to that destination and they're not even talking about this, or they're not like, you know, for me personally, when I travel, I like to eat food. I like to see art. I like to be where the locals are. And I know a lot of people say that, but you don't see a lot of campaigns that really focus on kind of those DIY areas of neighborhoods and destinations. And so, I think people get into a rut of talking about what they are expected to talk about and not what the visitors are really asking for. I'm no exception to that. I fall into that sometimes as well, but sometimes the questions that are coming through your visitor center or your website, if you have so many questions on a certain item, then that's maybe something you need to build a campaign around, right? Instead of trying to force a campaign onto consumers. The other thing too, we're all consumers of something. So whether we're traveling or not, there's things we're drawn to, and there's a reason we're drawn to that. So I think a lot of people need to be more in tune with what they're drawn to naturally, and infuse that into how they work and what they're passionate about. And it'll be much more authentic campaigns will come from that, if you're listening to kind of what you're interested in. If someone comes to me with an idea for something that they are interested in, I want them to pursue that. We have provided opportunity through industry standard stuff. You know, we're Destinations International members, so we encourage those courses and classes and trade shows and events to attend. We have our statewide tourism industry things to attend, and we're encouraging them. Last year, everyone on team was gifted masterclass, and I said, take whatever class you want. You want to learn about cooking? You're passionate about cooking? Great. Take a class about that, and maybe we can infuse that in some way into what we're marketing. We have an individual on the team who is really into basketball, and he's a basketball coach. So if there's things that people are passionate about that they can kind of weave into what they're doing in their work life, because this is a job, right? It's not our life. This is a job that we use to support our lives. then I like to try to encourage that. So we use traditional avenues and non-traditional avenues. And we also encourage, there's, you know, college courses that you can take online now. We have the University of Illinois in Extension office. So we've had a couple people take courses specific to their role that they wanted to learn more about. Everything from Google Analytics to digital ad specialization, like I had mentioned, the master class. We just kind of a little bit of everything. I don't think it has to be the traditional route at all. I think it could be a little bit of everything. If someone came to me and said, I'm really interested in, you know, watercolor, and I think that it could make my job better because of this, then I would be interested in pursuing that. I think it has to be a why in there and not just we're going to pay for anything you want to do. But if they can tie it back into how that will inspire them to do a good job in their employment, then I think it's worth checking out personally. And I feel like I would bet I like that. You know, that's how, what I would love. I would have loved to have former bosses say that to me, and then I could have really like dove deep into those things. So I try to offer that as an opportunity.
What is something you're most proud of?
I am most proud of the life that I've created and worked really hard to have. I have 3 children and they're all teenagers. And even though there's rough days, I'm very proud to be a mom and to have a family and to be a working mom and to be able to provide for them and hopefully give them, you know, have them learn something from me. Just today, I voted with my daughter. It's the first time she's voted. So that was a proud mom moment. And everything comes back to that, right? Everything comes back to family. So, that's something I'm extremely proud about. And I love meeting other moms who are working moms and have similar struggles or similar passions or similar praises that I've had. That's just very nice to kind of have that like-minded person in the room with me, I guess.
Do you think your style of leadership would be as successful or impactful had it not been for situations like COVID and working from home?
I've learned so much about through COVID, just everybody, right? Everybody, that word everyone uses is pivot. I think it's funny because I think of things that I used to do pre-COVID and it makes me cringe, like, ooh, I used to be more like strict about certain things. I think COVID has taught me a little bit more about patience and a little bit more about the long term, like what really matters, you know, in the long term, not only in your personal life, but in your work life, you know. I think that's been a benefit. As terrible as the pandemic has been for so many people, I think there's a lot that we've learned through it. And you're seeing that across the board, not just in our industry, but, you know, across the board, it's changing how we buy things, it's changing how we spend our time, it's changing the fast food market. I mean, it's so many things. So how could I not change and evolve from that?
And how, since you brought up family, mm-hmm. how would you say you're most like each of your parents?
How am I similar to my parents?
Yes.
My parents are still married after 35 years. I live in the same home and my dad was a very hard worker and raised, I have also have a large family of 6 brothers and sisters. So I think his work ethic and his, and he's a family man. We had, you know, Sundays was family time. So I think that rubbed off on me in a good way. Obviously there's things I do differently from my parents. You know, you take the good and you keep that, and you take the things that you weren't so into and you get rid of those and you create your own traditions. But I think the family aspect of your family is the most important people to you in your life. That was definitely handed down from my mom and dad. And I love them for that. And I appreciate them. I'm going to have to call my mom after this.
You know, one of my next questions is going to be compliment a person around you. And I think you just did that with your parents. So that was really
they're
serendipitous.
They're beautiful people who I love very much. Yeah.
What's
and I'm
the
very
best...
different from them, but I do have a lot of things that I've taken from them and learned from them.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
best piece of advice I've ever received. Oh, I don't know. I feel like I wanted to say, but I don't know if this really advice. I wanted to say art is in the eye of the beholder, or everything is subjective. So probably something along the lines of that, like to not get so bogged down on a specific item because it's translated in so many different ways. I don't know. That's kind of what I live for, what I live by, I guess. Can't please everybody. Yeah.
And what do you hope to accomplish today?
What I hope to accomplish today. Hopefully this interview is going well and it will be
so far.
All right. I hope to finish the day out by, we actually have, two positions that we're hiring for. So I'm going to be calling two people and offering them the job. And I hope that they accept so that we can get ready to get our communications department back up and running. And then tonight I'm hoping my husband will make dinner so I don't have to make dinner tonight. Oh, that's awesome.
Do I need to make a phone call?
Yeah. Dear Brett, he had the day off today, so there's no excuse for dinner to not be ready for me when I come home, I guess. So we'll see.
If you can't make dinner, make reservations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's plenty of places to eat in Galena. So yeah, definitely.
If you had to give a piece of advice to your younger self.
Yeah, I would say, don't be so hard on yourself. I would say, take a break every once in a while and yeah, don't compare. I think my younger self, I was just so determined to prove that I could do it, that it stressed me out, you know? And, I think a lot of people are like that. When you're younger, you have this idea where you think you want to be or what you're going to be. And maybe it doesn't get to that point. So you lose a little bit of your, I don't know, your drive maybe, cause you're kind of sidetracked, but yeah, I would say, don't be so hard on yourself and don't compare yourself to other people, especially when it comes to art, especially when it comes to being creative, you know, to not enter a show or to not do something just because you're worried about what someone might say. It's like, they're not even doing it. They're not even painting or drawing. Like, why are you concerned about them? So yeah. I can see that you have a dog in your picture, and I would tell you that I have the best dog in the world. Probably
now I'm going
to
fight you.
Next to yours. Mine is pretty amazing. And I wasn't a dog person until recently. I got a dog during COVID and it changed my world, and his name is Otis and he's amazing. So
why, yes. How did having a dog change your world?
Oh my gosh. I was not a dog person at all. I got bit by a dog when I was younger, so I was kind of afraid of dogs. I wish I would have had a dog before I had children, because the way that I talk to my dog, I am so nice to my dog. And I think my dog has just shown me, just unconditional love, that this animal, he's there when I come home, and he's so, just such an amazing thing to be around. Today, just this morning, I had to get up early and he was hanging out with me in the house. It has made me be, much more conscious of how I talk to people and how I treat people, because I'm so nice to my dog. And that necessarily hasn't always been the case with maybe even my children. You know, when they do something that irritates you, you're quick to react. But when my dog does something that irritates me, I'm always like, oh, it's okay. We'll get it. We'll figure it out. So he has been awesome. And, I'm definitely his favorite. He snuggles me the most. So it's been a joy to have him, and I love him so much.
Well, I'll tell you two funny things about my dog.
Yeah.
One, my dog tolerates me.
So I love dogs.
Yeah. So before I had, when I had my house, which was 2,400 square feet, I mm-hmm. would rarely see the dog. He'd be somewhere else in the house. Now mm-hmm. I'm in an RV and I'm traveling. If I put him outside on his lead, he goes to where he cannot see or hear me.
He needs a space. He needs a space.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, and the other thing.
Yeah. It's so funny.
And with regards to kids, I don't use the word no with my dog. Uh-huh. I do like it's a bah sound. Uh-huh. And I caught my niece watching my nephew, and my nephew did something stupid with Legos, and my niece goes bah at him.
I love it.
And it worked.
It worked. Yeah. It's so funny. They have the best little personalities, little dogs in our life. Yeah, it's great.
So if folks want to learn more about visiting Galena Country.
Yeah, for sure. We hope they do. They could visit our website, of course. We have a website, visitgalena.org. They could email me directly if they want. My email is rnoble@visitgalena. I would love to answer any questions or talk to anybody. We have a pretty awesome social media presence too. So we're putting content on there a lot of content on there, and we're stepping up our game with that. So that's a great way to see a little bit more, less polished version, I guess, of some of the ads that we're putting out and such. So that's a good start as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share your
story.
Yeah,
thanks for having me. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being on.
No problem. You're wonderful. I don't care what anybody says about you.
Okay, perfect. But you'll email me later who said it and when they said it, right? So I can stress.
Absolute trash. Absolute trash across the board. All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Stephen.